السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to our esteemed listeners of مركز الصحابة, voice of أهل السنة والجماعة, and our esteemed listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International on this beautiful Wednesday morning, the 18th of December, corresponding with the 16th of Jamadul Akhira, 1446. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. الحمد لله, الحمد لله وحده, والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده, وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين أوفعوا عهدا, الذين هم مفاتيح الرحمة ومصابيح الغرر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد, إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي, يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. وقال تعالى في مقام آخر, قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى, بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى, إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى, صحف إبراهيم وموسى. وقال تعالى في مقام آخر, إن الله عنده علم الساعة وينزل الغيث ويعلم ما في الأرحام, وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا, وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت, إن الله عليم خبير. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, اتق دعوة المظلوم, فإنه ليس بينها وبين الله حجاب, أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, بلغ العلا بكماله, كشف الدجى بجماله, حسنت جميع خصاله, صلوا عليه وآله. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Hazrat Mufti Abdul Qadir Sahib, Damat Barakatuhu, Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban to you. On this beautiful Wednesday morning, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and afa with afiyat and good health. Allah ta'ala accept all your efforts in deen, and our dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, accept our duas and grant us more than what we have asked for. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the platform is yours.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu fikum maana Salim Kareem. Ameen, ameen, ameen to all the wonderful du'as and supplications. Allah Jalla wala reward you, reward Appa. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan and Brother Zakaria. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 16th of Jumad al-Akhirah, 1446. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, today we focus on chapter 40, Surah Mu'min, Surah Ghafir, and verses 73-76. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will question the mushrikeen, the idol worshippers, the polytheists, the non-Muslims on the day of justice. Thumma, thereafter, subsequently, qila lahum, it will be told to them, the non-Muslims who are sane and mature, aynama kuntum tushrikun, where are those things, those deities, those semi-gods and demigods, which you used to ascribe and associate with him, with Almighty Allah, min dunillah, besides Almighty Allah? You would not worship Almighty Allah alone. You had so many other deities, demigods, semi-gods, for this day, this god, and this week, that god, and you made them up yourself. So where are all these demigods and semigods and partners which you assumed? Qalu, they, the non-Muslims, the mushrikeen, the polytheists, will respond and say, Dhallu anna, they left us in a lurch. They gone, they disappeared. Then they will say, Ballam nakunna du'u min qablu shay'a. But Ya Allah, we never even worshipped them. Anything, we shouldn't worship any one of them. So this is the lie they will try and speak on that day of reckoning, on the day of judgment, the day of justice, as mentioned and enshrined in another place in the Noble Quran. They will take a big oath and say, Wallahi Rabbina ma kunna mushrikeen. They will say, we take an oath on you, O Almighty Allah, our sustainer, nourisher, provider. We never ever committed shirk, and we never ascribe anybody anything to you, and we shouldn't worship these demigods and idols and so forth. So Almighty Allah will seal their mouths. As mentioned in Surah Yasin, Al-Yawma nakhtimu ala afwaihim wa tukallimuna aydihim wa tashhadu arjuluhum bima kanu yaksibun. Their limbs and everything else will start speaking. The land and the sand will start speaking. Yawma idhin tuhadithu akhbaraha anna rabbaka awhalaha, because Almighty Allah inspired the land and the sand to speak, as mentioned in chapter number 99 of the Noble Quran. And thereafter the angels will come with their big computers. I just use this word so it will resonate with you, with our bio data, with our life history, with our CV, with our curriculum vitae, and say, on this day or that place you committed this crime and that crime. So the evidence will be overwhelming. So Almighty Allah will ask them, now what do you say? Are you guilty? They will say, yes. Any mitigating circumstances? They will say, no. Do you deserve to go to Jahannam and the hellfire? Yes. So get now, go now straight to Jahannam and the hellfire, and dwell and stay there forever. Everlasting doom, everlasting gloom. Allahumma ajirna min an-nar. Oh beloved Allah, save us from the fire and Jahannam. Grant us direct entry into Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. When we enter Jannah and Paradise, is rahmatan wa fadlan min Allahi Jalla wa Ala. It's only the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala. When a person enters Jahannam, Jahannam, Allah forbid, then it is adlam min Allahi Azza wa Jalla, the justice system of Almighty Allah. Kadhalika samalali yudhillu Allahu al-kafirin, Allah Ta'ala leads the non-Muslims astray. It's not that Almighty Allah leads them astray. They themselves initially decided to go astray. Al-Qur'anu yufassiru ba'duhu ba'da. The Qur'an Sharif, you must not read one verse in isolation and reach a conclusion. You must read all the verses regarding that topic. Almighty Allah teaches us, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ, chapter 61 and verse number 5, when they decided to deviate, said, we don't like this path, Allah forbid, which Almighty Allah chalked out for us, which Mustafa, Habibuna, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us, that which Almighty Allah chalked out for us, and which Mustafa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, we want our own style, our own path, azaghallahu qulubahum, then Almighty Allah lets their hearts go astray. Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-fasiqeen, and Almighty Allah will not guide those people who are the fasiqeen, those people who transgress and went beyond the limits and parameters and boundaries. So yeah, Almighty Allah is showing us, they decided they want to go astray. Why they wanted to go astray? Zalikum, this punishment for you, bima kuntum tafrahuna fil ardi bighayri al-haq, because you were so happy and you were elated and delighted on this earth without justification, because of the money, the status, the rank and whatever else, eating haram food, drinking haram, going to haram, everything doing haram basically. So without any justification, so they were celebrating, they were so happy. وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ, and because of تَمْرَحُونَ, because of their pride and arrogance. So what leads a person astray? One is their pride and arrogance, and second is their ignorance. But the ignorance also is self-inflicted, in this sense, they know the truth, but they don't want to embrace their truth. They reject it because they're enjoying the life so much. Look at today the non-Muslims. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يَتَمَتَّعُونَ وَيَعْكُلُونَ كَمَا تَعْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامُ وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًا لَهُمْ. That look at the non-Muslims. They want to enjoy the life so much, eat and drink whatever they want to, consume what they want to, wine, dine and swine. And just like the animals and the cattle, وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًا لَهُمْ, hence the fire is the resting place for them. So therefore, no one can complain that Almighty Allah is unjust to them. Nay, it is because of their own actions and their own deeds and so forth and so on. So everything you will find in the Noble Quran. Surah 47, chapter 47, Surah Muhammad, and verse number 12, you will find the verse where they are eating, drinking just like animals, and the fire is their resting place. So what will happen then? Udukhulu, now the angels will tell them, Almighty Allah will tell them, the angels will usher them and now guide them. Udukhulu, enter, abwaaba jahannama, the doors and the portals of Jahannam and the hellfire. Khalidina fiha, they will stay in Jahannam for very, very long. Yeah means very long, but we say not only very long, forever and ever and ever, eternally, perpetually. Why? Chapter 33, Surah Ahzab, verses 64-65, Almighty Allah states, Inna Allah la'ana al-kafirin, verily Allah Ta'ala has cursed the non-Muslims who are sane and mature. وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ سَعِيرًا, and Almighty Allah has already prepared for them the blazing fire and inferno. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, Almighty Allah will tell them they must stay there eternally and perpetually. Everlasting doom and gloom. لَا يَجِدُونَ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا, there is no protector better, no helper for them. Chapter 4, verse 48, Inna Allah la yaghfiru ayyushraka bihi. Verily, Allah will never ever forgive those who ascribed, associated somebody, something to him. فَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. The angels who are the doorkeepers there of Jahannam and the hellfire will inform them. Hence, how horrible and terrible is mathwa, this abode and this place, for the who? For those people who are so arrogant and so proud, they don't want to embrace the truth. مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ, the abode for those who are so haughty and arrogant. Allah mahfadna amin, Allahumma ajirna min an-nar. May Almighty Allah protect us and grant us direct entry into Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la bi fadlihi wa rahmati wa judihi wa karamihi, through his grace, mercy and benevolence. Amin ya rabbal alamin. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Today is the 16th of Jumad al-Akhirah, 1446. Gaza genocide. Today is day number 439. And we present to you, with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah, the news, views, interviews, locally, nationally, and internationally, and globally. Five Jews, Jutlas, dispatched to Jahannam. And they have our Hamas. Allah Ta'ala help them. Allah Ta'ala grant them victory over the Jutlas and Haramis. They detonated the building, and mashallah, the Jutlas were there, and then they fracked, and they died like dogs, and dispatched straight to hell, and they are being roasted and toasted there in hell. Alhamdulillah, we have no sympathy, empathy for any of these Jutlas and any of these Haramis. So now they are saying that they are very, very close to sealing the deal between Hamas, the Palestinians, and the Israeli murderers and war criminals. It's a three-phase plan for the hostages and prisoners. The Israeli call their people hostages. We call our 15,000 people in the Israeli jails and dungeons prisoners. So therefore, there will be a deal, inshallah, we hope, and all of them want to take credit. Biden says that before I leave office, I'll have all of them out. And Trump says he is putting pressure on both parties and so forth and so on, because come 20th January, on his date of inauguration, the deal must be sealed and so forth and so on. They play with the lies, remember, of the Palestinians, and in both of their minds, because Biden, Trump, all of them are morons as far as we are concerned, that the lives of the Palestinians can never equal the life of a Jew and a Jutla. They are the curse, the nation, and the scum on this earth, as far as the Quran Sharif goes, as far as the Sunnah Mubarakah go. They say, some media reports say yesterday Bibi Netanyahu, the war criminal, went to Cairo, but the Haaretz newspaper refuted that and said no, he did not go to Cairo. Palestinians to sue the U.S. State Department because they are guilty of assisting the war crimes of Israel. You should sue every department you can of the Americans, remember, and take them to the cleaners, sue them for millions and billions of dollars and so forth. That's the only language they understand. The Irish government support for Palestine is firm, despite Israel being furious and, remember, so angry. So they told them, go to hell. You are the criminal. You are practicing on apartheid. You are the one who have violated every international law and every international treaty. So we support Ireland on that score there. The United Nations envoy visiting Syria said all sanctions should be lifted for Syria, because if you want the country to progress, and he was addressing the countries to tell them that now is the time, everybody should be cooperating with them, Syria, and they, Israel, with their attacks on Syria, is destabilizing the situation even further, and all this must stop immediately. immediately. And further on, that they are told that all this land that they're occupying, so they must go and return from there. There's a mountain called Mount Hermon. So they were always eyeing it because it is the tallest mountain there. So they wanted control of that. You know, Jutlas, the biggest crooks on earth, remember that. So from there, they can see where Hezbollah are. They can see where the Syrians are. So they have a bird's eye view. Before, this mountain was always an obstacle. They were not sure which side, as far as they concerned, the enemy are. But it's all stolen land, and they have 20,000 Jutlas already in the Golan Heights, and now they want to double that amount. We say for every Jutla, Jutli, and Jew and Zionist there, one settler, one bullet will settle the issue. Putin and the Kremlin have told Zelensky that you murdered the Russian general. Their names are too difficult to pronounce. So now that is the death warrant for Zelensky. We're going to target you directly now, and be careful, we're going to take you out very soon. So we hope they do that, the haramis. Trump to talk to Putin. He says, yes, I want to talk to Putin, because he knows Putin and them mean business. You see, with Trump, you have to talk tough. You must remember that. You can't be a weakling, and so you have to show him. You want to do something, then we can do ABC, XYZ also. Judge Juan, so Makram Achan, or whatever his name. So let's just call him Judge Juan, J-U-A-N. He disgraced Trump even further, and he said that the charges against you will still stick regarding Stormy Williams and Stormy Daniels, I mean, and the prostitute whom you paid hush money, $130,000. It doesn't mean you are going to become the president, so now we can't charge you and so forth. So he says we must still charge him. So imagine what disgrace. Even when he becomes the president, Stormy Daniels, you must remember, the prostitute, will still be hanging upon him. Just like Bill Clinton, when you hear Bill Clinton's name, then same time you think of Monica. What was we doing with Monica there in the White House? All of them are haramis, these guys. Study their lives and you will see they have no scruples. They can't even remember where and where they placed their rifles, the haramis. Turkey is building a huge force on the Syrian border, and the Turkey is a very, very powerful country with their army, but they haven't used it against the Palestinians, against the Israelis. So it was all talk but no action. So let's see what happens there. Paul Watson, maybe you never heard his name. So he's a guy who's fighting what they are doing in Japan and the cruelty against the whales and so forth. So he is campaigning against the anti-whale campaign. He is there, you must remember, in Denmark. So Japan told Denmark, this guy must be extradited. We want to charge him. He made some derogatory remarks and he stopped the boats and the ships and so forth. So they, Denmark, said, no, Japan, you can fly a kite. We're not going to extradite him. And he's found not guilty. So that Paul Watson pulled it off. So he's a very happy man. He said that I was one person. The world media was not on me, but you, Japan, you such fools. So now the whole world's attention is on me. So I'm a celebrity now and so forth. We come here to our South African news. Can you believe this now? So DA, you know, the Democratic Alliance, and they are Jutlas, right? We all know that. So they are supported by the Jews and Israel. They always say they want clean government, no corruption. But they have a mayor, right? And this mayor's name is Ray Van Rooy. Ray Van Rooy. So anyway, it sounds like an Indian guy or a colored guy. So he was involved in drugs and so forth and collection of drugs. So the police grilled him for 12 hours yesterday and so forth. And he denies all these drug allegations. He say it is just to smear him and his, you know, the honesty and integrity. That's what he claims. But the evidence is stacked up against him. So let's see what really happens, but that will always stick with Ray. So remember the DA mayor. Listen to this in Gauteng. right? Till now, some places, there's no water. To the people in certain places, Roodepoort and here and there and Johannesburg, a certain mosque, a masjid, has a borehole. They're giving people free water. Come pick up, come with your buckets, come with your cans, take the water, go free of charge. The water mafia tankers guy come to them. They tell the mosque people, the trustees, the muswallis, the people who frequent the mosque, you better stop giving water free of charge, otherwise somebody will lose their life. So the question we have to ask La Sufi, that is the premier of Gauteng. This is the question we have to ask the ANC. We have to ask all these big shots. What the hell are you doing for the public if you can't give them water? We Muslims are giving you water free of charge, and then you want to threaten our lives and so forth. Is that what Mandela fought for? Is that for what Hani gave his life? Is that what ANC is all about? You're a disgrace, man. Therefore, I said I'll never vote for you, and I never ever voted for ANC in my life, and I'll never vote for them. Just look at this yesterday's incident. We Muslims are prepared, as during the COVID time, when the whites were hating us, then go to the South Coast and North Coast and see that they wanted to prevent our mosque being built, but we gave them milk, we gave them water, we gave them mud, everything, bread, free of charge, and then only they changed their opinion and apologize. So that is what the Muslims will do for humanity. We don't ask you for anything. We ask our beloved Allah. We do it solely, only for the love of Allah. Innama nut'imukum liwajhillahi la nuridu minkum jaza'a wala shukura. We will feed, we will give food, we will give water for the love and pleasure of Allah. We don't even expect thanks from you, nor any compensation from you. A disgrace on all the political parties, whether it is ANC, DA, EFF or MK or whoever, who are preventing our people from giving water to the masses who don't have access to water. Shame and disgrace. Hang your heads in shame. So EXA, you know, EXA, ACSA is warning people of delays at ORT. There's always problems there at the airport nowadays, it seems. And remember, there in Soweto, the water wells are stolen in Soweto. Now what more do you want? People stealing the water wells, so now people got no water in some parts there. You see, yesterday, Tuesday night, I have tafsir commentary here of the Noble Quran in the Jami Masjid. So I saw traffic there at the McDonald's cars. So I asked them, when does McDonald's open? We know the structure. They said Sunday night. So remember that our fatwa verdicts, not from now, for past 10, 20, 30 years, can't remember now. Now, all McDonald's, whether it's here in lands or any part of South Africa, all are haram. It's not permissible for Muslim consumption. That halal certificate, whichever party gave that, we say is not worth the paper on which it's printed. And opposite the Jami Masjid, not the McDonald's side, on the other side, that article that came out, they said about casino. So it's not casino per se. It is that, you know, tables and all that, that slot machines or whatever you call them. So they want to place that, and our people are fighting them. Miaswam is also fighting them. That's good. And we all should be petitioning them and say we don't want all these unsavory activities right next to the masjid and mosque and opposite the masjid. So today's programs, inshallah, 8:30 to 9 will be Mufti Farhan Karani with Mona Khalid Yaqub. 11 to 12, inshallah, will be Bliss of Marriage. 1 to 2 will be the tafsir of the Noble Quran, and inshallah it's Wednesday between Zohar and Asr. Du'as are accepted. We all should turn to Almighty Allah. Allah grant our Hamas victory and decimate and destroy the apartheid regime of Israel and all their helpers, America, Europe, NATO, and whoever else harami among the Arab states is helping them. Allah decimate them all. Ameen. So, Maulana, we have about 18, 19 minutes left for the Q&A. Let's fire it up, inshallah.
Mufti Saab, can any type of shoe be worn for tawaf, or does it have to be barefoot? Jazakallah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. If you are a female, remember you must wear stockings or socks, and then you can wear your shoes and so forth. And when you are performing tawaf, then you remove your shoes because you got your socks and stockings, your socks or stockings on. Or you can wear your leather socks, synthetic leather, your khuf and so forth for the females. For the male, that remember that the Hanafi scholars say that when you are in ihram, then you wear such sandals or shoe also, but the ankles both sides must be exposed, and the metatarsal, the bone there in the middle. So in the majority scholars say, Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis, that the ankles must be exposed. They don't say anything about metatarsal. The metatarsal can be exposed, can be covered, all permissible according to majority scholars for the male. Only Hanafi speak about the metatarsal. The metatarsal and that bone in the middle, that on your foot on top you will see it, and your ankles both must be exposed. So that is the Hanafi verdict.
Mufti Sahib, I understand that if someone misses a salah intentionally, it is a big sin. If he does so and repents sincerely, is he required to make qaza of it?
If a person misses salah deliberately, remember it is such a major sin. If you study the Quran Sharif and you study the Sunnah Mubarakah and take the literal meaning, such a person is out of the fold of Islam, and Almighty Allah speaks about the wa'id and the warning. Ma salakakum fi saqar. What made you walk straight into Jahannam and the hellfire? The first thing they will say, that we should not be reading the salat and so forth. So therefore we can't be taking this lightly. Go open chapter 74 Surah Muddathir and verses 42-43, and then people are landing up in Jahannam and the hellfire. Chapter 74 verses 42-43. And if you study Kitabu Salat, the book regarding salat, namaz, prayer, by the celebration student of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah Rahimahullah, Hafiz Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah, is a masterpiece. So I have a copy, excellent, and that is the fatwa of the Hanbali scholars. They say if a person misses salah deliberately, like now, they don't read Fajr salah, they just sleep and wake up after sunrise, and it's something habitually they are doing. Ramadan time they will wake up early for suhoor, but the 11 months they will miss three-quarter most of the time. So such people land themselves up in Jahannam, the hellfire forever, and they're out of the fold of Islam. That is the verdict of the Hanbali school. We don't pass the verdict on that, but we mention it to show you that how strong the evidence is, that according to the Hanbali school, the Shafi'is and Malikis say is the death penalty for people who are tarikus salat, who don't read and perform salat on time. Hanafi say such people must be imprisoned, incarcerated, hatta yamut or yatub, till they make tawbah or they die naturally. So it shows everybody has got severe punishment for such people. Yes, obviously there is qada, so not just tawbah, you must make qada as well. How you must fast during Ramadan, so you then have to make qada. So similarly here also, the salat, the first salat you must, so qada will also be compulsory, and repentance will also be compulsory.
Mufti Sahib, what is the best dua to read on a Wednesday?
The greatest dua we should make for all times, all places, Ya Allah, let us live with Iman, let us pass away with Iman and Islam, because life is a sojourn, it's just temporary, and then we pass away. So chapter 3, verse number 8, whilst we are living, chapter 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse number 8, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahma innaka anta Antal Wahhab. Oh Allah, Jalla Wala, do not let our hearts get deviated. After you gave us the guidance, the Iman, the Islam, and grant us from your side the special mercy to envelope us. Verily, you are the best of givers, Ya Rabbal Alameen, O Allah. Then you read the dua of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam in Surah Yusuf, chapter 12, verse 101. From where to where he was dumped in the well, he was sold as a slave, and all that happened, the minister's wife tried to seduce him. He landed up in jail, and so many things happened. Remember that he became the minister of agriculture, he became the ruler of Egypt. But in the ending, he says, Fatir as-samawati wal ard, Ya Allah, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth and the entire universe. Min ghayri mithalin sabiqin, and you did not need any specimen, any model in front of you. You created this universe perfect. Anta waliyyi fi dunya wal akhirah, you are my protector in this worldly life, in the year after. Then the special dua he made, to teach this ummah for all times, all places, tawaffani muslima wa alhiqni bis salihin. Chapter 12, verse 101. Ya Allah, let me pass away with perfect Iman and Islam, and unite me with the pious, devout servants, Ya Rabbal Alameen. So that is our dua. And in this world, always ask Allah Jalla Wala. Hadith in Ibn Majah, Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa. Oh beloved Allah Jalla Wala, we are sinners, we are ordinary mortals and sinners. We beg of you forgiveness, wal afiyah, safety, comfort, protection from all harm and evil, fi dunya wal akhirah, in this worldly life and in the year after. That's a beautiful, wonderful, comprehensive dua to make. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal afiya fi dunya wal akhirah. You are there in Makkah Mukarramah, hundreds and thousands of people are leaving for Umrah from South Africa and other parts of the world, and many of them are there already. When you pass the Hatim, the semicircle, in your tawaf, and now you're coming towards the Rukne Yamani. So before approaching the Rukne Yamani, read this dua, and when you are there, then say, Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyah fi dunya wal-akhirah. 70 angels say, Ameen, Ameen, to your wonderful dua. What an honor for you, O Mu'tamir, O Ta'if, O person performing tawaf, and you the person performing umrah. So we should learn this type of duas and supplications. Allah grant us tawfiq.
Mufti Saab, can we wear ihram to just go to the mataf to make tawaf only?
First and foremost, we need to understand the background to this question. There is a Murtad bin Shaitan, his name is MBS. He thinks the Haram Sharif, Masjidul Haram, belongs to him or his father or grandfather. It does not belong to you, MBS, nor your father Salman, nor your grandfather Abdul Aziz. It belongs solely, only to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Wa anna al-masajida lillah. Every masjid, mosque in the world belongs solely, only, exclusively to Almighty Allah. Allah Jalla Wala called the Baytullah Kaaba Musharrafa, wal yattawafu bil bayt al atiq. Atiq means qadim, the ancient house. Atiq means ma'atuq. It does not belong to any government, any king, any clown prince, or anybody else. It belongs solely, only to Almighty Allah. So they said, if you want to perform tawaf, perform umrah, then you are in ihram, then you make tawaf downstairs. But if you want to perform a nafil, voluntary tawaf for the man, you must go upstairs. Now imagine my father, grandfather is with me and he's 70, 80, 90 years old. They must go upstairs. So either they walk, I push them in a wheelchair, or they go in that golf cart and what have you. But they can't do it at the bottom. Yes, the ladies can do so at the bottom. So what is the fatwa? We say that you just wear the ihram. This is Kali Kali ihram. Spaza ihram. You pretend you are in umrah. Totally really permissible. You don't have to listen to the Ahle Saud. You don't have to listen to the governing party who are Kuffar and MBS and so forth. Quran Sharif teaches us, Surah 22, verse 25, whosoever makes intention of deviation, of zulm, of oppression and transgression. Thus, when they come, then they perform tawaf at the bottom. But when the guests come, they tell them, go upstairs. Nuziqhu min adhabin aleem. Just on intention, we will unleash a painful punishment for them. Open Tirmidhi Sharif. He Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Bani Abdi Manaf. They were in charge of the Baytullah those times. So the Master alayhi salam said, La tamnahu ahadan tawafa bihadal bayt. You don't prevent anybody from making tawaf ye by the Baytullah. So when you have Quranic verses, when you have sahih authentic ahadith, you have the ijma consensus of sahaba and the four schools, so what more do you want? So we can't be listening to Sudais and to MBS, and though Sudais is also a scholar for dollar, let us be honest about these issues. He is supposed to be Ra'isul Haramain al-Sharifain, the person who's the president in charge of the Haramain, but he can't speak one word against MBS and so forth. So therefore, our ruling fatwa is totally permissible for you, the man, just wear your ihram, kali spaza, pretending I gave you in different languages, and go and perform your tawaf. Guys wear their socks, wear people wear their jockey and underwear, and they're going. So it's 100% permissible, because you are not really in Umrah, you're just pretending to be, and it's totally permissible. There's no deception, there's no sin upon you, because the law itself is haram and is zulm and oppression.
Mufti Sahib, can we read Quran on a mobile phone without wudu?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in chapter 56 verse 79, La yamassuhu illa al-mutahharun. None should touch the noble Quran except in the state of cleanliness. That if you require wudu, then you make wudu and ablution. If you require ghusl, a compulsory bath, then you must take that bath. However, when you look at the modern day now, people have mobile phones, people have iPhones, and people have iPads and what gadgets. We know some we don't even know what's the name, never mind how to operate it. So if a person reads the Quran from there, but is in need of wudu, so now you just read from there, you're not touching the Quran Sharif, you're touching the screen basically. So the fatwa verdict will be, you should be in wudu, that will be meritorious, desirable. But without wudu, you're traveling now from here to Hong Kong, to Dubai, to India, Haman's Kraal, wherever, and now you are using your phone, your iPad and whatever, and you are looking there, and you are reading from there. So even without wudu and ablution, it will be permissible. That is the fatwa and the verdict we issue regarding that issue there, regarding that method.
Mufti Sahib, interest money was given to an old lady. After a few months, her daughter sent me a little present. Not Muslim. Can I use that gift?
Take 2-3 examples. You gave a person, Muslim person, who's very, very poor, zakat. And thereafter, they invited you, and maybe they used the same money that you gave them, or you gave them food, and then they used the same food, that rice, for example, and they invited you. Is it permissible for you to eat there, accept it? Yes, it's permissible, no problem. You gave a non-Muslim, just voluntary charity, sadaqah, what we call, and after 2-3 months, then, or some weeks, or some days, they gave you a gift. Is it permissible for you to take that gift? Yes. Provided that that gift itself is permissible, then it's acceptable and permissible. But there is one place we should be very, very careful. You gave a person sadaqah, charity. You gave a person zakat. You gave a person hiba, a gift, or so forth. And then you attach conditions to it. I'm giving you this, but you must invite me, you must take me to the restaurant, and so forth and so on. When we used to study in Karachi in the 70s, so many a time, you know, our brothers, their money never came or money got lost. So they say, give me 500 rupees, 200 rupees. We say, okay, we take the money, but Friday we have to go together, you know, there to the restaurant or something. It's all our musti. It's not permissible. So that then you will have to pay the bill, like we're going to have a nice chow Thursday night, Friday, because it's holiday. So then he said, fine. So that is not permissible. Remember, you can't attach a condition when giving zakat, when giving sadaqah, when giving a hiba, a gift. So that to attach a condition, that is not permissible. If that person, the recipient, gives, does it on its own, and you did not make any condition or any request like that, so then it would be considered permissible and acceptable.
Mufti Sahib, is it permissible to consume a piece of steak that has traces of blood on it?
Remember that Quran Sharif teaches us that, and Allah says, "Innama harrama alaykumul maytata wad-dama wa lahmal khinzir," that Almighty Allah Jalla wala has made haram for Muslim consumption the maita, the carrion, the animal that died a natural death, or the animal was slaughtered but not in the prescribed manner, wad-dama, and the blood, I'll come to that, and wa lahmal khinzir, and the meat and flesh of the swine. The swine, we know, bumper to bumper, top to bottom, every part, particle of it is haram. This verse which I just read, a portion of it is Surah 2, chapter 2, verse number 173. But you can't just look at one verse and pass judgment, as I told you just now. So we go to another verse of the noble Quran, and we see Almighty Allah states, O damam masfuha. So the blood that is oozing out and gushing out from that animal there, so that is haram for Muslim consumption, and so forth and so on. So see what Almighty Allah states in Surah 6, Surah An'am. Illa ayyakuna mayt, if an animal died naturally, carrion is haram. Oh, the mam masfuha, or the blood that is oozing out, gushing out. So if it is that type of blood, so then that type of meat, steak, whatever it is haram, not permissible. But once it is the dry one, it's not oozing out nothing and so forth, so then it is permissible for Muslim consumption. And this is understood from the Surah 6, Surah An'am, and verse number 145. So we should be very clear on this type of issues there.
Of Kisab, is zakat payable on the gifts that we keep aside for our children?
Remember that you are storing, hoarding money and saving money for your Hajj, for your Umrah. You are saving money for your children's education, future. So upon all that, zakat will be compulsory and mandatory upon you. 2.5%, you have 100,000, so you have to pay 2,500 rand, and that will be compulsory upon you. Although your intention is for your children, for your Hajj or Umrah and so forth, so on. You have 1 million that you saved under your matras and mattress and pala pala, or under your sofa. So remember, 25,000 rand is compulsory as zakat upon you.
Mufti Sahib, I left Islam. What should I do to become a Muslim again?
First and foremost, you must repent. Secondly, embrace Islam immediately. Third one, when you were a murtad and you denounce Islam, then ijma'an, that there is a law, man baddala deenahu faqtulu, hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Whoever denounced Islam and became a non-Muslim, then the death penalty is applicable. So obviously, we know we can't do that in our countries. So sincerely repent, go to the Mawlana, to the Imam, the Sheikh, tell him, make me Muslim. He'll explain to you the articles of faith and make sure that you become a true and sincere Muslim, not some hidden agenda, you want to marry a lady and so forth and so on. It must be done solely, only for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So Allah Ta'ala then will forgive you. So may Almighty Allah protect, preserve our Iman. Ameen. Salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.